It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, the start of this road trip was pretty promising, and the start of this game was pretty promising, too. The Blackhawks seemed to keep the New York Islanders in check through the first 20 minutes, and then even through the first 12 minutes or so, but the officials went ahead and overturned a call that gave Matt Martin a goal and the New York Islanders the first goal of the night. After that, the Islanders just kind of took off in the second period and made it very difficult for the Blackhawks to get anything going offensively right from that moment. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight as we recap this 3-0 loss to the New York Islanders. A fantastic game for the Blackhawks goaltender in Arvid Soderblom, but unfortunately, that's about it for the extent of the positives to pull from this one. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can give us a call. You can give us a text. We'd love for you to jump on here on the postgame show, but first we're going to head on back to the UBS Arena and bring in Troy Murray, who's been breaking down this game with John Weideman. Troy, this team just maybe a little bit flat, as you said, maybe a little gassed from last night's emphatic win against the New York Rangers, but this is also a very structured New York Islanders team, and once you allow them to take the lead, and in this case a 3-0 lead, it's tough to bounce back from that.
This is a good team. They've lost two in a row, so you knew that they were going to come out here. Lane Lambert, their first-year head coach, who's highly respected around the NHL, you know that he was going to have his team fired up and ready to play the game the right way. And they knew that the Blackhawks played last night. It was a taxing game, but no excuses. There's back-to-back games all the time, but it just didn't seem like they had the jump that they did last night and never really able to get into the rhythm of this game. I like the start of the game. I like what Reese Johnson did in challenging Casey Cizikas right off the bat. That was setting the tone for what happened in the game in Chicago, where Stalock was hit and still remains out with a concussion protocol. And, you know, after that, it just didn't seem like it was in sync. And give credit to the New York Islanders. This was a strong game by them in all areas.
We were talking a lot about Arvid Soderblom tonight, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, but the Blackhawks do have a lot invested in this guy, and this year all the playing time that he's gotten is kind of just circumstantial with everything that's gone on, but he has really lived up to the hype so far, and again, I think the biggest attribute about his game is how locked in he is, his confidence, and if you're starting there with, I believe, a 22-year-old, and this is a pretty good piece for the Blackhawks to have in this rebuild.
The one thing that they wanted Soderblom to be able to do this year is play. And he was expected to play in Rockford, right, the majority of the games there. Well, you know, you don't want him sitting up here not playing. But the way that he's played and with the goaltending situation and now with Mrazek up in the air for a little bit, you would think that Soderblom is going to be the guy and he's going to get these opportunities to start. So that's what you were hoping for, but you were thinking that it was going to be down in Rockford. It hasn't, but he's getting the reps that he's needing here, and he's really met the challenge at the NHL level so far. I mean, you just go back and you think of all the games that he's played. I mean, has there been a real bad one that he's played? I can't remember a game
either
that he was bad in, and tonight, 40 shots on goal, 37 saves. Anytime you have 37 saves, that's pretty impressive. And the New York Islanders had some really good quality chances that Soderblom kept out of the net. So he did his job tonight, and he's been doing it all season long.
I do feel like we should probably give some love to maybe the bottom six. I just feel like that fourth line continues to grind. Boris Tkachuk, a guy that just continues to find himself involved in plays. And I feel like that's another good thing to see from the depth of this Blackhawks team on a night like tonight when it's tough to get things going.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, you know, Taves has been struggling here a little bit. Patrick Kane had a solid night last night, but they really focused on shutting him down here tonight. That was very apparent, and you know, he didn't get a whole lot going. Domi's line had some early opportunities. Kurashev with two of the best chances in the first period. Either one of them could have gone in. Big saves by Varlamov on those saves. But you're getting some good hustle and good energy out of the third and fourth lines, and that's what you expect of these guys. You don't think that they're going to chip in a whole lot of offense, but they've done a nice job here in the last little while. Reese Johnson with the fight tonight. He had the goal last night. Points in two straight. Same with Tkachuk. And, you know, he's been a big physical type of presence out there in the, on the line with Entwistle. So I like what those guys bring, but you need more from the top end in these type of games, and can't expect that the muckers and grinder to get it done every night without support from the big guys.
Absolutely. One more off day until this road trip concludes in New Jersey. Do you guys get to stay in the same hotel another night?
We did, but we're going to jump on a bus and head to New Jersey for a couple nights and switch hotels. And then we'll be back in Chicago late Tuesday night for the game on Friday against the Winnipeg Jets again.
Well, and hopefully that off day can help out the Blackhawks, because New Jersey is going to be, they're just another team that's amped up this year. That's going to be another tough matchup.
Yeah, I didn't see New Jersey being as good as they are, but they've got some really good young talent, and they've been kind of in a rebuilding mode for a while, and they got some high draft picks, and now those draft picks are starting to really come into their own at the NHL level. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the Hawks. It's been a tough challenge for any team against the Devils. They've only lost four games this year in regulation. So you like what you see from the New Jersey Devils, and for the Blackhawks, they do need a day of rest here. This was a tough game for them mentally and physically. I thought that they just didn't have the jump that they were hoping for, but I thought that the Islanders played a really strong game, right to the suit of what the makeup is of their team, and just not enough from the Hawks. Goaltending, as we said, gave them a chance to stick around in this game, but just didn't come to the point where the Hawks really were threatening it at all in this game.
Right. And back to New Jersey quickly, Lindy Ruff just sticking it to all those fans that were calling for his job after that first game.
Fire Lindy and then sorry Lindy, and they made T-shirts and everything about it. I mean, Lindy Ruff is a good coach, and hey, first five games, they were all over him.
I think it was the first game. They were chanting that. But you know what? Good on the fans for taking ownership of them being wrong, too.
Yeah.
It's a very, very selfless bunch out there.
Not often they get you get 20,000 people who were dead wrong in the assessment of a head coach. All at the same time. I mean, there was nobody on the fence either. They were on one side and then the other.
Yeah, nobody's out there chanting, wait it out, wait it out.
We will see. We will see.
Oh, that's great. All right, Troy. Well, thank you as always. Great stuff. And we'll talk to you in a couple days from the jersey.
All right. Good job, Joe.
All right. Thank you. Likewise. That is Troy Murray, number 19, with John Weideman on the call tonight as the Blackhawks suffer their 13th loss of the season. They get shut out by the New York Islanders, and Varlamov, who had 21 saves on the Hawks tonight. It's worth noting the Blackhawks had 8 shots on goal in the first period, 6 shots on goal in the second period. Normally, I'm pretty good at math, but that would leave 9 shots on goal. 7 shots on goal in the third period. So not much going after that opening stanza for the Hawks. Pretty much the most amount of life that they had was that Reese Johnson fight defending his goaltender Alex Stalock, who, again, still hasn't played since November 1st when he left the game due to concussion protocol, being hit by Casey Cizikas. And then Reese Johnson quickly to pounce on Cizikas and throw off the gloves and get into a fight with him. But again, that was about it. The start to the second period for the Hawks wasn't all that bad. It definitely seemed like the Islanders had more of a pep to their step, but that was pretty much the same with the first period, too. Again, it was just such a momentum shifter when they overturned that goal for Matt Martin. And again, it's probably even more frustrating for the Blackhawks fans that are actually watching or listening at home rather than the ones that are at the game, because they can see the replay and you can't really see a distinctive call that would overturn that to be a goal. But that was the call, and it did seem like Luke Richardson did want an explanation from the officials. But unfortunately, that was what Toronto and the officials went with. It gave the Islanders a 1-0 lead. They wouldn't look back from that, hardly even turn their head over their shoulder, as again, they outshot the Blackhawks 22-6 in that second period and just cruised their 16th win of the year. They're now 6 games above 500. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can text us. Tim from Urbana has already chimed in with his overly positive attitude, as he always does. saying at least the Hawks have an off day before their next loss. So clever by Tim from Urbana once again. The Hawks are, yeah, off tomorrow. They play the New Jersey Devils on the road to conclude this road trip on Tuesday. And then they start a long stretch of a lot of home games. Six of their next seven are going to be at the United Center after the game against New Jersey on Tuesday. Their lone road game will be in Minnesota on the 16th. But you might be noticing all those Blackhawks commercials and advertisements on social media and on TV being home for the holidays. They're talking about the Hawks. There's a lot of matchups coming up. You got Winnipeg coming to town on Friday, Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals the following Tuesday. The Vegas Golden Knights come that Thursday. And then the week of Christmas, I should say the week leading up to Christmas, you get the New York Rangers, the Nashville Predators, and Johnny Hockey and the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a whole heck of a lot of hockey going on at the UC coming up around this holiday season. But the Blackhawks still have to finish off their road trip in New Jersey on Tuesday and try to make this a winning road trip out east. Again, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. When we come back, we're going to talk about the overall game, the Islanders lone three goals, and we're hoping to hear from a Blackhawk or two and head coach Luke Richardson. Islanders shut out the Blackhawks 3-0. You're listening to the postgame show, 720 WGN. I can understand if you're frustrated with the Blackhawks' loss tonight. For that matter, the Bears, Bulls, and Blackhawks' loss. Rough day for Chicago sports today. For the New York Islanders, came into this game really in need of a win, maybe not desperately in need of a win, but they had just lost their last two games. They just lost to the Flyers a couple nights ago. They have only picked up two goals in their previous two games. And now you take on the Chicago Blackhawks, a team in their first year of a rebuild, but a team that just took down the New York Rangers, which I'm sure a lot of Islanders fans were happy about. But you could tell that this Islanders team came in committed and devoted to playing their game, their simple, structured game, and not giving the Blackhawks a lot of offensive chances. And that's exactly what happened. Again, I do think that that first goal was just such a momentum shifter. And I do kind of wonder what the mental aspect, mental effect it has when you give up the first goal in the way that the Hawks did today. I mean, Arvid Soderblom was just kind of on a roll. He was stopping shot after shot. A few chances, his defense kind of hung him out there to dry, but he stood up to the challenge. And then all of a sudden you go to a TV timeout, you get a little breather, you're just trying to reset things, and the Islanders are challenging a potential goal. And all of a sudden, yeah, that was a goal, and let's reset 2 minutes. And now you got to replay that 2 minutes, and I'm not saying hockey players aren't capable of playing an extra 2 minutes and 8 seconds, but it's just such a weird mental reset. And not only that, now you're down by a goal, and then the Islanders can just continue to play with their game, but now with a little bit more confidence and a little bit more momentum that they're up 1-0, and then they were even able to pounce a little bit quicker. Let's talk about it with the highlights. As again, this game was probably best played by the Hawks in the first period. They were outshot 10-8, but they had a few chances. We saw an Andreas Athanasiou attempt at going for the Michigan goal on Varlamov, but he couldn't finish it off. Still pretty cool to see that Athanasiou's got that type of talent. And then later on, the Blackhawks, with all of this physicality that was incorporated against the New York Rangers last night, obviously with Jacob Trouba being the main drink stirrer of that straw, to get in a fight with Jujhar Khaira, lay down a big hit on Andreas Athanasiou, try to get his team all riled up. Blackhawks maybe still feeling that energy, feeling that physicality, and of course you can't forget what Casey Cizikas did to Alex Stalock back on November 1st. Crashed the net, crashed Stalock. He left due to concussion protocol. He has still yet to return to the active Blackhawks roster. He's been taking the ice here and there for some practice, but never to the extent where, okay, he's going to return. So the Blackhawks haven't forgotten about that, and neither did Reese Johnson.
Put it over to Murphy, and then he advances the puck for Kachuk at the Islander blue line. We get a whistle, and we're going to get a scrap. Casey Cizikas and Reese Johnson, they drop the mitts at the Hawk line. Johnson fires a right, and now Cizikas fires a right, Johnson fires a right, then pokes him with a left, then takes a right. They tangle right at the blue line. This is about Cizikas running into the Blackhawks goaltender Alex Stalock. And now Reese Johnson pumping up the uppercuts there. They let go of one another. Now they're going to regroup, and they're going to come at each other again. And Johnson reaches to grab and then catches an uppercut from Cizikas. He reaches over behind Cizikas and pulls him down to the ice.
We're going to go ahead and give Reese Johnson our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest locations, rather with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. I've done that two straight days now. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen again. Anyway, Reese Johnson went to the box, 5 for fighting. So did Casey Cizikas. And again, the Blackhawks were able to do a good job of just weathering the storm of the New York Islanders, but playing pretty tough with them too in that first 20 minutes. However, in the second period, it wasn't quite the same. Blackhawks actually had a hooking penalty on Patrick Kane that gave the Islanders their first power play opportunity. Both teams have been very successful on the power play as of late, so that may have allowed the Islanders to kind of generate a little bit more momentum offensively. And then they ended up picking up a goal. We didn't even see it. We didn't even hear it. It didn't even really happen. Then there was a TV timeout. We came back. The Islanders challenged, and it all worked out for New York.
Again, you can't see the puck. You don't know where it is. I don't think they can count this. Let's get the call down on the ice. Doesn't look like they're gonna.
At 11:02 on the clock, the puck completely crossed the goal line. We have a good goal.
So that was Troy Murray being corrected by the officials, and again, who knows what. Different angle Toronto or the officials may have seen. Again, everything we saw on the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast didn't really lead us to anything that would have overturned that call. Anyway, it ended up being a goal for Matt Martin, his third on the season. Casey Cizikas ends up picking up his fifth assist, and the Islanders went ahead 1-0. They rewinded the time on the clock back to 11:02. So again, 2 minutes and 8 seconds that both teams had to replay. And then later on, the Islanders were able to double their lead.
And from the left point, Pellick will fire. That's deflected wide off Parisi's stick. Then another shot from the right wing boards. That's turned wide. Pellick will follow up. Shot, he scores! From the left wing sideboards, he has traffic in front of Soderblom. One of the Islanders got a stick on that, I believe. And the Islanders now extend their lead to 2-0. Looks like it's going to be Zach Parisi.
Parisi's eighth goal of the season as the Islanders went ahead 2-0, and then less than a minute later, they tacked on another one.
Caleb Jones had it and lost it. The other way, Beauvillier into the Hawks on the left wing. Put it in the slot. Brock Nelson with a one-timer scores. 3 goals by the Islanders here in the second period, and they now have a pretty comfortable lead. It's the Islanders 3, and the Hawks no score with 4:46 left in the second period.
The second goal by Parisi was a good hard-working goal in which he was able to just screen Arvid Soderblom, ended up getting it in between his legs on a quick rebound, and then later on Brock Nelson picking up that third goal on a 3-on-1 opportunity for the New York Islanders. That was all they would need. That was the only scoring in the entire game. 3 goals in the second period, all for the New York Islanders. The Islanders ended up outshooting the Blackhawks 40-21 in this game, and faceoffs in favor of the Hawks still at 58% to 42%. Both teams unsuccessful on the power play. We mentioned both teams were pretty hot with the man advantage coming into this game. Not so much the case tonight. The Hawks were 0-1. The Islanders 0-2. Luke Richardson sat down with the media. Let's hear from the head coach.
So what happened tonight?
Well, I thought we were going pretty good. I thought we had a really good first period built on off of last game. And then, unfortunately, you know, I think, you know, we started to maybe feel a little bit of the back-to-back and, you know, the goal against that they looked at and eventually called it a goal. That kind of seemed to take a little bit of life out of us, I think mentally more than physically. And then, you know, we started to fall into the trap of forcing things, turning pucks over. And then that just spent too much time in the D zone the rest of the way. And that's exhausting. So really not enough juice to create enough offense. And they're a good team. Like, they protect the front of the net well, and the goalie's good. So, you know, I mean, I thought we ran out of gas, both mentally and physically a little bit after that call.
Do you agree with the call?
I haven't seen a review yet that's conclusive, but that's, you know, they might have different views, so I'm not sure.
What do you have done differently to maybe generate more?
You know what, early in the game, I thought we had some good looks. Like, Kershaw had a few good tries and that. We could have shot the puck a little bit more, which was the page out of their book. They shoot everything, and they shoot a lot of pucks, and they have people going to the net. You know, I think we needed a little bit more of that tonight, but again, we didn't have the puck enough the second half of the game to do that.
You know, the Parise goal, you talked about protecting net front, and you got that on the doorstep. What did you want to see differently with Jack Johnson and Seth here?
Well, I think, it's everybody. So I think, Taser had a chance to clear it in front of their bench originally, and it stayed in. And then I think Kaner was coming out on Pelich on the other side and then went out of the zone, so he couldn't get back. So when the puck came around for Pelich, he walks in. Seth's got to leave the front of the net. So there's just different breakdowns on the goal. So you know what? We're at that point, we're starting to force. That's what I was talking about. We're starting to like maybe come out of our 200-foot game to try and push. But against this team, you got to play 200 feet. You don't play 190 or 150. Like, they're going to make you pay.
I don't think Tate's had a shot attempt tonight. I mean, his production is falling off a little bit. Is there anything you see?
No, I think in the third period they had a line rush, and I think he'd probably like to have that back, and I think he'd try to give it back to Anastasio down on the entry, which wouldn't have been a bad play if he got it there, but they have good sticks. They're big rangey D, and I think he got to the bench and he was upset with himself. He wanted that one back. So just a little more shot mentality from our team as a whole, and I think, but again, we didn't have the puck enough the second half of the game, but the first half of the game, I thought we had some good ozone time and we created some opportunities. We just didn't capitalize.
How about the second period? What's your analysis of the second period?
Just the start was okay. I thought the first period was good, and the start was okay. And then, like I said, I think we started to probably get fatigued after the back to back, and then the call took a little momentum out of us on the first goal. And I think we just started to lean on the offense after that, and it cost us the next two.
The fight give any momentum? Either way?
Yeah, I think they thought, Reese did a great job of, standing up for his teammates. Our goalie's still out from that injury, and, Cizikas just is an honest, hard player. I don't think he was trying to hurt anybody. I think that Reese was just trying to let the teammates and his goalie at home know that he's going to, not let that happen and stand up for him.
You talked about next shift and not giving up goals after you scored a goal or giving up a goal, and they had two quick ones.
I think that's where fatigue sets in, body-wise, but then your mind's listening to it. So you're starting to think a little bit out of the box of what we're supposed to do. So that second goal, is probably attributed to that. And then, unfortunately, we at that point, I think we're gassed physically and then not thinking straight. So, we just got off our game plan a little bit after that. We didn't play together. I thought, like we did last night, I thought we were good from the start to the finish. Nothing fazed us. And we got to learn from that and get right back to it.
What was it compared to last night? You said it didn't phase you.
I don't know. I think we were fresh and we were determined last night, and I think we started the game off like that well. But these guys are a good team. They wear on you and they frustrate you because it's hard to get shots off and get second chances. And we just kind of fell into that trap. We didn't play smart hockey and play behind them and keep that momentum up in the O zone, because like I said, too much time in the D zone, it's going to break any structure and fatigue everybody, and then you don't think properly and you're off your game plan.
What do you think of Soderblom's performance?
Oh, he was great. He was great. He made some big saves. Matched Varlamov, like they were really good goaltending duo. And then unfortunately that one slipped in, and then I thought we didn't support him as well. But he hung in there. He made some great reads and big saves and stood tall right to the end. So he's been great. In every appearance that he's been in, and we just got to give him a little more goal support, obviously, and a little bit better structure in front of him, so he doesn't have to be exerting himself on big saves too much.
Absolutely has been solid. 40 shots on goal for the New York Islanders tonight, and Arvid Soderblom stopping 37 of them. We've got more to get to. We'll tell you about what happened around the league tonight. Another loss for the San Jose Sharks. The Winnipeg Jets had 5 unanswered goals. All that and more coming up next as we recap this Blackhawks 3-0 loss to the New York Islanders on the Blackhawks postgame show. 720 WGN. Well, tonight, all three stars were for the other team. Just like last night, the Blackhawks had all three stars. Our three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. The number one star, Semyon Semyon Varlamov. Again, he had 21 saves as he picked up the shutout tonight over the Blackhawks. It ends up being his 37th career shutout, as I'm pulling it up on Hockey Reference right now, and that looks to be his 12th shutout with the New York Islanders. Obviously, his most coming with the Colorado Avalanche, 21. But again, 21 saves on the Hawks tonight. Number two star Matt Martin, he was the first guy to score tonight, even though it took an official review to overturn it and give Martin the goal. And the number three star, Zach Parise, who picked up his eighth goal of the season. It was the second goal of the game. As the Islanders shut out the Blackhawks tonight 3-0. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight. We've still got some time for your calls. 312-981-7200. If you don't like talking on the phone, you can shoot us a text to that number as well. Again, 312-981-7200. There were only five games on in the NHL tonight, with the Hawks being one of them. A few of them happened earlier today. Let's start in Dallas.
The game on the stick of the Wild's Freddie Gaudreau. He's 1-for-3 in shootouts this year. Bottom of round three, shootout tied at 2, game tied at 5. Freddie Gaudreau picks up the puck from left to right on your radio dial. He'll charge his way in, right circle, on his backhand, forehand to his backhand. He scores! Freddie Gaudreau on the backhand went upstairs on the stick side of Wedgewood. And the Wild escape out of Dallas with the 2 points. They win the shootout 3-2. They take the game 6-5.
And that's the second straight game for the Minnesota Wild winning in a shootout. They take down the Dallas Stars for their 13th win of the season. Dallas moves to 14-6-5. With the shootout loss, the Stars had 4 goals in the third period to force that game into overtime, but Minnesota was able to still prevail. Kirill Kaprizov extending his point streak to 12 games. Jason Robertson extending his point streak to 18 games. Let's go to Columbus.
We're on to the bottom of the left wing circle, and Sundquist tried to make a cross the top of the crease pass, which was taken away by Gavrikov. Now Hronek goes right side, and Kubalik gets a second opportunity to shoot from there, and he scores this time. He didn't go low that time. He went high. And the power play goal has lifted the Red Wings to a 2-0 lead over the Blue Jackets.
Yes, that is the former Blackhawk Dominic Kubalik, and Bob McKelligut on the call of WBNS 97.1 as the Detroit Red Wings end their 3-game losing skid, a 4-2 winner over the Jackets. They improved to 12-7-5 on the season. Johnny Hockey in Columbus, 8-13-2 on the year. Let's go to the Peg.
Morrissey, long lead pass on the far side. Grabbed by Winnipeg, play to the near side. Lowry back door, just got the score! Morgan Barron, what a passing play by the Winnipeg Jet. They finally have their first lead of the afternoon. It's 3-2 Winnipeg.
And Anaheim was looking to end their 6-game losing skid. They had a 2-0 lead over Winnipeg, but the Jets then powered back for 5 unanswered goals. They pick up their 4th win out of their last 5 games. They're now 15-7-1 on the season. Meanwhile, the Ducks continue to struggle, 6-17-3 on the year. Let's go to Buffalo.
At center. Throws on the right, Cunnan. Cross the line, tried to whip it rink-wide for a breaking Šimek. He's caught up ice. Deflected. Here comes Skinner down the right for Buffalo. Into the zone. Cuts in front. He's got Dell down, and he scores! Nick Šetšek looked like he was tangled up in front. Along with Dell, both going down. Dell losing his stick, and Jeff Skinner, who always seems to score against the San Jose Sharks, gets another one, and the Buffalo Sabres have a 3-2 lead.
Dan Rusinowski of the Sharks Audio Network. The Sharks now in a 3-game losing skid. They've lost 6 out of their last 7 as Buffalo improves to 11-13-1 on the year. The Blackhawks' next game, they'll be visiting the New Jersey Devils to cap off their road trip.
It is Ken Danica with 195 career penalty minutes against the Flyers. Here's Jack Hughes spinning in the Flyers' zone and a shot, the backhander, and he scores! Devils! Hughes gets it off the backhand and waves to the crowd as the Devils take a 3-1 lead.
And quite the year the Devils have had so far, 24-1 under their head coach Lindy Ruff, even though the fans were calling for his job after the first game. Again, that's who the Blackhawks will play next. We're hoping to hear from another Blackhawk, but if not, I want to bring up some interesting quotes from Andreas Athanasiou after the rough hit he had from Jacob Trouba the other night. All that and more as we wrap up the postgame show. Hawks fall to the Islanders 3-0. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Blackhawks continuing on their holiday. as they visit the New York Islanders but fall 3-0 over at the UBS Arena. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. Real quick, let's hear from the Blackhawks defenseman number 5, Connor Murphy.
It's not one thing. It's a bunch of mistakes, like any loss. The cluster of goals is obviously the biggest part. Those 3 goals. To give up the ones, okay, we can't let that turn into a bunch of shifts being poor that lead to more goals.
Up to that, did you guys? I mean, it felt like you guys had a pretty strong first period, and you know, had some chances. Were you guys pretty happy?
Yeah, I think first period carried over from our game last night, having some strong play and playing together, and then it really tailed off and really felt missing that part of the game that we weren't supporting each other in the offensive and defensive zone, which caused turnovers and caused us to end up having extended time without the puck in our own end.
Well, you typically don't have a lot of shot differential issues in the second period, but it seemed like you did tonight. What was the key that they were doing?
Just like I said, it seemed more self-inflicted times that we weren't. When we were winning battles to get the puck back initially off of entries or off of D-zone plays and shots from the point, we weren't supporting each other closely to get it out, and then we were at offense, a mixture of us not sustaining it, or once we did, some of us D-man, myself included, had too many shots blocked that turned into them getting possession and come back.
Yeah, Soderblom was probably played up here more than you expected this year. What have you thought of him?
He played unbelievable tonight. I thought there was a handful of saves and times where he made saves that turned into covers for whistles that are key and definitely valuable, and speaks more to a veteran goalie. So he's showing signs of that right away, of having that poise. On the road is not easy when we're not playing well at certain extents of that game. For him to be able to step up and do that, and he seemed calm the whole game, even when we were let up a few goals. So that's it's huge. We're just frustrated that we can't give him a better performance.
Sometimes it's easy to have a letdown game after an emotional win, kind of a crazy game. Do you think that was the case in this instance?
Not really, because we didn't have a string of very good games before that at home. So I think that we're hungry to string good games together, and we're focused to do it. So that's it's not an excuse for us to have a good game and be able to let one off the next night. It showed that we started the game okay. We just got to know what works for us, and know that the support and the effort that when we're playing together is what we need.
Well, we'll see how hungry the Blackhawks are on Tuesday against the New Jersey Devils. Back on that game last night that Connor Murphy was talking about against the New York Rangers, again, a lot of physicality. Jujhar Khaira fighting Jacob Trouba after the hit that Trouba had laid on Khaira last season, almost a year to the day. And then he had an even bigger hit on Andreas Athanasiou in that game at the blue line. This is from Ben Pope's article, the Chicago Sun-Times, getting a quote from Athanasiou about Jacob Trouba, and it goes as, quote, "That guy is known for hitting high, not really worrying about the puck out there and almost trying to hurt people. That's his game. That's what he does. He's an $8 million man with 0 goals, so he has to figure out how to do something when making that much. If you can't help the team, I guess you try and hurt guys on the other team." Later on, went to say that the puck was there. He could have made a play on the puck. Instead, he had an intent to try and hurt somebody. He's been known to do that. You have to know when he's on the ice, and he got me there. Rangers come to the United Center next Sunday, I should say in 2 Sundays, December 18th, a 6:30 puck drop. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we got here at the station. Our producer of Jimmy Nash, a.k.a. JB Smooth. Our engineers of Brett Jackson, Krista Flores, and Dan Long. And back over at the UBS Arena, John Weideman and Troy Murray calling the action. Hawks fall to the Islanders 3-0. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Steve Ruxton has your news next. After that, it's Bill Cunningham. Have a great rest of your Sunday night. We will talk to you Tuesday as the Hawks visit the Devils. Have a good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.